we've been singing. And what I'm going to do in the sermon is do a sort of overview about Thanksgiving and then hone in on a passage of scripture towards the end, and only very briefly. So if you haven't got a Bible and you'd like one, Gail's poised to hand them out. Please raise your hand and one will be placed in it. Famous story of a man who went to visit a farm, and as the farmer was showing him around, showing him the sheep, showing him the cows, came to the pigsty and showed him a pig, and in this pigsty was a pig with a wooden leg. And the man said, "Oh, never seen that before. How did the pig get the wooden leg?" And the farmer explained that one night some time previously there'd been a fire had started in the barn and it quickly spread along and was threatening the farmhouse. And the pig leapt out of the sty and started sort of knocking on the door of the house and managed to sort of save the lives of the farmer and his wife and all his children. So the man said, "Oh, and did the pig lose the leg in the fire?" And the farmer said, "Well, no," he said, "but with a pig that special, you don't eat him all at once." There's a family expressing thanksgiving in a very real and practical way. And thanksgiving is the theme of our service today, and indeed of this sermon. We've got this acrostic. Is it acrostic or acronym? ACTS. Acrostic. A-C-T-S, which isn't on there, but we've had adoration already, confession. And now we come to thanksgiving, all in, as we explore what it is to talk to God and how we do that. And in this sort of overview, just wanted to say the first thing is that thanksgiving is a biblical theme. If you take a quick look in the concordance, you'll see that thanksgiving or giving thanks or gratitude are words that are weaved throughout Scripture. Right from the contents page through to the book of maps, you'll find gratitude and thanksgiving, and giving thanks there. It's ordained by God. You know, in the Old Testament, in that whole process of sacrifices and offerings that you'll find explained throughout the book of Leviticus, the overwhelming sense, the overarching sense through all of those sacrifices and offerings is one of thank offering. And out of that comes an offering for sin, an offering for peace, an offering for was wave offering. There's all sorts of offerings, but the overarching thing is one of thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude to God for all his blessings, for his daily mercies. And if you read in Leviticus chapter 1, that as these sacrifices are burning, so the fragrance of the sacrifice floats up to God and becomes an aroma that is pleasing to him. See, nothing pleases the Lord more than the thankfulness of his people. So no surprises then, as you go on through the Old Testament, that David and the other psalmists keep encouraging us and reminding us to give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for his unfailing love. Give thanks to God, his love endures forever. Etc., etc., etc. Some characteristic of God, and we're encouraged to give thanks for it. And that's understandable, isn't it? You know, there's something good, let's give thanks for it. But David also, in a few psalms, has a testimony to give. Psalm 7, for example, a lament about the evil in the world. And he goes on for 16 verses about how bad it is and how the evil do this and how they achieve this and how things are bad in the world. But in verse 17, the last verse, he says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness." You know, even when evil abounds, even when things are difficult in your life, he's saying, give thanks to the Lord. And the New Testament is no different. If anything, it's sharper. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, or the verses in the middle of that. "Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The implication here, isn't it, is that even in troubled times, we should give thanks. Should you say that again? Even in troubled times, we should give thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 to 18, it's no longer implicit, it's explicit. Be joyful always. This is my favourite verse in the Bible, okay? Be joyful always. That's why I'm always joyful. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for you. See, God's will for you is not just about your career or who you're going to marry or which missionary work you're going to do or which missionary work you're going to support. Alongside being joyful always and praying continually, God's will for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. Simples. It's actually quite hard to do. See, the Bible is saying, God is saying through the Bible, His will for us, this thanksgiving, it's a way of life. It's a mindset. It's the default setting. Anytime, any place, anywhere, any circumstances. Give thanks. It's a biblical theme. And it's a biblical theme. Should have looked, shouldn't I? What's gone wrong, Russell? Have I gone the wrong way? Give thanks for this, folks, because we have an opportunity to praise the Lord for Russell at the back. Biblical theme, it's God's will for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's a biblical theme which keeps us humble. That should be in bigger writing, but obviously the writing wants to be humble. Give thanks for this. It's a biblical theme which keeps us humble. There was a school class studying the topic of the seven wonders of the world. And they had a discussion, and they were voting about it, and each had to write on a piece of paper what they thought the seven wonders of the world were, or what a wonder of the world were, and then they were going to add them up. And the teacher was sort of mentally working it out, and there was typical ones like the pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, the Great Wall of China, and that was six. And the teacher realized that they were probably one short. But one girl had not yet contributed what she thought was a wonder of the world. And she said, actually, well, I've got seven different ones, miss. And what are they then? And she said, well, to touch, to taste, to see, to hear, to run, to laugh, and to love. See what she's done? She's lifted her eyes above the things that we have made, you know, man-made wonders of the world. And she's chosen things which our Creator has given us. Now, you may be a smart cookie. I know you are. You may have gifts and talents that enable you to achieve things, you know, to go out to work, to make a living, to pay the bills, to keep a roof over your head. It may be appropriate to have a certain amount of pride in what you've achieved. But let's keep it humble pride. Because all things come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Your intellect, your gifts and talents, they're God's gift to you. You know, He's also made the material from which your roof is made that's being kept over your head. He actually has made the material that makes the money that you pay the bills with. Do you know? Give thanks to Him because it keeps us humble and it also glorifies God. Should have been that big. What happened there? Also glorifies God. Pilgrim Fathers began the idea of a Thanksgiving Day in the United States. They'd survived their journey from Europe, although many had died. They'd been befriended and helped by the natives in that country. Their crops had struggled to begin with, and those natives had helped them, but now their crops had become established, and they wanted to give thanks to God. And so they did. That was in the 1600s. But it wasn't for another 200 years or so that it became official government policy. It was Abraham Lincoln who said this, without the accent. "We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." And he went on to say, "It seems to me right and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, those and those who are at sea, and those sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." What a wise man. You see, thanksgiving is about giving God the glory. And it does this in another way as well. Because when we give thanks for everything, in all circumstances, this simple way of thinking, it actually profoundly shapes the way that we think about God and life and the universe and everything. To give thanks shapes our theology. See, to give thanks in all circumstances means that we think of God as the sovereign Lord of all, as one who's in control of all things, as the one from whom all things come, as the one in whom all things hold together, as the one to whom all things are moving, as the one because of whom all things work together for our good, and so in whom we can trust completely, in whom we can find peace for our souls and contentment for our lives. He is the one to whom we can offer thanks. Oh, and then the whole thing starts again. You see, you begin by giving thanks in all circumstances, and it shapes what you think of God, who controls everything. And so you give thanks, and that shapes the way you think. Do you see? Giving thanks is a biblical theme. It keeps us humble and it gives glory to God. And that leads us to Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17. Just three verses. On page 1184 in the Church Bible. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Just three verses in the middle of an exhortation to holy living. You see the title there at the beginning of chapter 3. But each of these verses, alongside whatever else is being talked about, weaves in thankfulness and gratitude. So verse 15, you'll see it there. "And if Jesus wept," is the shortest sentence in the Bible, then surely this is the second shortest sentence in the Bible, and therefore very important. And be thankful. Verse 16, in worship, specifically in the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we do so with gratitude in our hearts to God. And verse 17, whatever you do in the name of Christ Jesus, do it rather in the name of Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We've already said that giving thanks is a way of life. These verses show what is possible. If giving thanks shapes our view of God and of life and of everything, if we know we're held in the hands of one who loves us unconditionally and will never let us go, Paul says then, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You hear this? It's let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's not work hard to make it happen. This isn't something that you can bring about independently. This is let the peace of Christ, that peace of Christ which is there, let it, allow it, welcome it into your hearts. Be thankful, trust God, and the peace of Christ will come. And you see, it's not just let it into your heart, it's let it rule in your heart. Above all the other voices and things that are clamouring to be part of your life and your heart, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It has that power. Allow it to do so. This is a simple formula, you know, isn't it? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Here's a formula that will save you hundreds of pounds in counselling fees. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You don't need all that training, Lynn, you see? No matter your circumstances, no matter your troubles, no matter your potential troubles, no matter whether they're real or imagined, it's the same God. He never changes. He has the same qualities. So we can give thanks to him in every circumstance. And the peace doesn't stop within the confines of our own heart here, does it? Paul is speaking to a church full of people. He says you're one body of people in Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. The peace permeates, the peace that's within each of them permeates their lives together. Peace amongst them as a fellowship, as it does here at Saltersford Church. Doesn't it? There's no tensions between any of us? Is there? Why are you laughing? Is there? And if there was, we'd sort it, wouldn't we? And perhaps if there is, we should give thanks for it. Because here's an opportunity to be gracious to one another and to love one another and to forgive one another and to bear one another's burdens. In verse 16, in this unity together, enter the source of our wisdom and the source of our peace and the source of our thanksgiving. It's the word of Christ, the Bible. And Paul says, let it dwell in you richly. The lovely word richly, isn't it? It suggests something about Scripture. Let it dwell in you richly. These are God's words for God's people. This is the living word which can speak to all our situations and the needs of our lives and shape our lives in the way that God intended. In fact, here's something we can do together, as he says. We can teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Take care of one another under the wisdom of Scripture. And then to worship together as well. And all this with gratitude in our hearts to God. There's a beautiful picture of church life here. Beyond the structures and the buildings, beyond the styles of worship and things that we like and we dislike, beyond our preferences and all that. A simple picture to do with our life together. A spirit of thankfulness pervading everything. A spirit of unity and peace. A love for Scripture which brings wisdom, which helps us to look out for one another, which helps us to praise God together. It's beautiful. It's simple. But Paul's not quite finished. Because beyond the church and our life together is the life we live every day, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, or whatever hours you work or don't work. And again, the recipe is simple, isn't it? Centered around giving thanks. Whatever you do, anything and everything, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just as thanksgiving is woven through these verses, then it's woven through all of life. You know, I think we've seen, haven't we, this morning, that thanksgiving is both the starting point for shaping our lives, but also an outpouring for all that is good in our lives. Thanksgiving keeps us humble and gives God the glory. So I encourage you to verbalize your thanksgiving. Story of a little boy, just to end with, who had gone to a party. And when he came home, his mum said to him, asked him, "Did you say thank you to the lady whose party it was, or the mother whose party it was for the little, you know?" Yeah. And the boy said, "Well, I was going to, but the little girl in front of me said thank you, and the lady said, don't mention it, so I didn't." That doesn't apply with God. We're encouraged to give thanks. So let's give voice to our thanksgiving. Let's make it our default setting. Let thanksgiving shape our lives. It's a guy called Meister Eckhart who said this: "If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, then that would suffice." Let's pray together. It's a simple prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.